Great cash, homie, man. I grew up on that.
If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Great cash, homie.
Sir, how would you like to pay for this?
What? Straight cash, homie.
You rich, you don't write checks. You know what I'm saying? And that's straight cash, homie.
Just like the tombs in Egypt. Soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt. Soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside my boy Alan Flores, back for Championship Week right here on the Bay's Golden Days Straight Cash Podcast. Yes, you heard that correctly, folks. The regular season, done with. Divisional round, done with. Check. Wild card weekend, done with. Check. We've now made it to our final four teams of the 2019/2020 NFL season, and we got two championship matchups happening this Sunday. And surprise, surprise, one of those teams is representing for the Bay Area right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. And you all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa, all these guys making their playoff debut last week. And guess what? They won. They absolutely dominated the Vikings 27-10, put on an impressive performance at home down at Levi Stadium, and they will be hosting the Green Bay Packers at Levi this Sunday night in a rematch of Sunday Night Football after the Packers took care of the Seahawks last weekend 28-23. Rodgers was able to hold off Russell Wilson in a late last-minute comeback, but Aaron Rodgers is coming back to the Bay Area. Yes, the Cal grad beat his former Cal grad, Marshawn Lynch, to earn the right to come back to the Bay Area to play for a chance to take a trip down to Miami and take out the San Francisco 49ers and what has been an incredible season. But the 49ers will have something to say about that, as Jimmy G will look to lead the party down to Miami himself. But we got to see who they will be playing in Miami, because we have an AFC championship matchup that is without Lamar Jackson, that is without Tom Brady, no Ben Roethlisberger, no Phillip Rivers, no none of these linchpin quarterbacks who everybody thought was going to be there at the beginning of the season. No, we've got Ryan fucking Tannehill taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and I'll just back up from there. Let me say Derrick Henry is taking on the Chiefs. Now, we will get into this discussion of Ryan Tannehill, how he is involved from a career backup quarterback into now a starter. Some people are calling him elite. The guy still hasn't thrown for over 100 yards in a playoff game yet so far, so we're going to get into all of the discussion and see if the Kansas City Chiefs can actually slow down Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry has been a fucking animal in the playoffs. Nobody can stop this guy. He's averaging damn near 190 yards per game in the playoffs. This is unheard of stuff, and he already ran for over 100 something yards on the Chiefs earlier this season when the Tennessee Titans beat the Chiefs in the regular season. So we'll see if the Titans can do it again, see if Patrick Mahomes can bounce back and lead his team to another victory, just like he did this past weekend after bouncing back from a 24-0 deficit. The Chiefs put up 41 points unanswered, Al, and came back to beat the Texans. And Al's over here pumping his fist, rooting in the background, because, yes, the Chiefs were able to cover that 9.5-point spread. I mean, it was never in doubt, Al. Never in fucking doubt. They were down 24 points, ended up winning the game by 20, were able to cover. And speaking of covering, yeah, it was a decent week for me on the podcast. Went 2-2 on the money line. Wasn't as great as my boy Al over here, because he smartly took the 49ers. I don't know how I talked myself into taking the Vikings. And then, of course, we had the Seahawks plus 4.5. Surprise, surprise. Failed. Two-point conversion. They lose by 5. A point fucking us over again and again, like it has been doing all season long. But, yes, decent weeks throughout the playoffs. We gave you our clips throughout the whole entire season. Over 50, 60, damn near 70% winning rate throughout the whole entire season. So, Al, I'll let you take it from here. 3-1 last week. Go ahead, talk your shit on a nearly perfect week against the spread if it wasn't for that half-point hook.
I got to say, man, that 4-0 was going to be looking so good. And even my teasing parlay couldn't even hit, because the Titans just had to screw it up, because I did take the Titans to cover, but I didn't expect them to win, okay? Now, going back, all I got to say about this playoff run here, Marcus, is that it's a little nice seeing some new people in this little category here. We got four teams who I never would have thought would have made it this far. Yeah, maybe the Chiefs, Green Bay.
Yeah.
But it's like Niners, I didn't think that in the beginning of the season. No. No one fucking thought the Titans was. Matter of fact, we always talk shit about betting on the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just inconsistent with those cocksuckers. But going with this last past week, Marcus, I mean, just talk about this Titans game alone. I knew that this was going to be a close game, so I felt like a fucking genius for that. But that just stops right there because I did not expect the Ravens to take a complete shit and lose this fucking game. So, of course, that was fucking crazy. Now, as far as this Chiefs game, Marcus was at my house. We were watching this game. It was 21-0 in the first quarter. I pass out because that's just who I am now. I pass out in the fucking chair and I'm fucking snoring my ass off. Cramps. Next thing you know, I wake up, it's 21-14. And I'm like, what is going fucking on here? What did I just miss, Marcus? And clearly, I just missed Patrick Mahomes doing his fucking job, fucking dumping it off to damn Kelsey for 3 goddamn touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wild fucking weekend. I thought that the Ravens were going to take this. They didn't. I thought the Chiefs were going to take it, and they did. And I got to tell you, we all got to probably thank that guy who left in the first half, who recorded himself saying, I can't do it. I got to lead this game. The only way that I see us winning is if I leave and they come back in the second half. Well, he didn't even have to leave in the second half. All he had to do was leave in the first quarter, and that's how it fucking went. So I'm excited about my 3-1 and 2-2 record.
Yeah, Al, it was a great week on the money line, on the record. And yeah, we're going to have great matchups this weekend. We got the Packers and the 49ers. We got the Titans and the Chiefs. And you said it. Some people might have expected maybe the Packers and the Chiefs to be in this situation. And if they actually end up winning this weekend, I think it might be a little bit of destiny because this was the matchup in Super Bowl I, Packers versus the Chiefs. Here we are 100 years later. It's the 100th year of the NFL. It's been being celebrated all year long, and now you got a chance for the rematch of Super Bowl I between the Packers and the Chiefs. But I don't want to get ahead of myself because I think the 49ers should be able to win this game. But like you said, no one really expected the Niners or the Titans to be in this situation. And I want to give a shout out to my boy Adam Rank for NFL Network. He comes on the Mark Willard Show once a week every Wednesday, and he projected the 49ers to go 3-13 on the year. Well, guess what? He also projected the Tennessee Titans to go 3-13 on the year as well, and now they're both in a championship game. But I got to give a shout out to Adam Rank. He comes on KMBR Airwaves every single week, and he owns it. He faces the music to the 49er fans every week. So shout out to Adam Rank. But yeah, Al, what a fucking potential Super Bowl that would be if the Tennessee Titans end up beating the division winners 4 weeks straight, taking out the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Texans in the last week of the season. I mean, it would be absolutely incredible. But before we get to this Titans and Chiefs matchup and before we recap this Ravens and Texans game, let's go ahead and start off like we always do in the Bay Area. We got to start with the 49ers. We got to start with the Bay Area teams because the 49ers are playing in the NFC Championship game. Like I said, they'll be taking on the Green Bay Packers at home, favored by 7.5 points. But let's take a step back and look to see how they got here. They absolutely beat down the Vikings 27-10. And I guess you can say it was a close game to start. It was 14-10 at halftime, even though the Vikings offense really wasn't doing anything except for a big early touchdown to Stephon Diggs. I believe he beat Witherspoon quick. Witherspoon looked terrible on that first two drives of the game, had a pass interference, got beat. But then what do you know? They sub him out for Mosley. Mosley steps in, and that seems like that Vikings offense just got shut down. And honestly, you can put this game on the 49ers defensive back, and you can put it on the running back's back because they really won this game based off of defense and running the ball.
Absolutely, and you know what? The one thing that I do want to give credit to is Tevin Coleman because we talked about this running back committee, and it's like any of those guys can just go off on any given Sunday or any given playoff game. Mm-hmm. You know, next week, for all we know, it could be Matt Breda fucking breaking for 200 yards. We don't know. But, yeah, we got to give a huge shout-out to that running back committee and that defense who I already knew was going to do work because, you know, I didn't think that Cousins was really going to do as much as he really did. He did better than I thought, but he still didn't do enough.
Well, that's the thing. I'll get into Cousins' numbers for a little bit, but because you bring up the rush game, I'll go ahead and give you some numbers here. The 49ers actually ran the ball 47 times this past week against the Vikings. I believe that's like a franchise high. 69% of their plays were run plays. Like you said, Tevin Coleman had a great game, 22 carries for 105 yards. The 49ers had 186 rushing yards total. And honestly, this offense looked pretty good. I guess you can say the first drive of the game, 49ers offense looked fantastic. It came out. Jimmy Garoppolo was able to throw a touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne, and their offense looked like they were going to score points, score points, score points. All of a sudden, Jimmy Garoppolo starts dropping back. Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin on the outside started getting after him, started sacking him a couple times. Jimmy actually looked like he got beat up a little bit. And the next thing you know, Jimmy Garoppolo throws an interception, turns it over. Eric Kendricks, middle linebacker, popped up out of nowhere. I mean, he was there the whole time.
Jimmy
Garoppolo just playing, just didn't see the guy. Yeah, typical Jimmy Al. And get this, after the interception, 30 of the 36 next plays were run plays. Kyle Shanahan knew. I mean, he came out in the second half. I believe they ran the ball 8 straight times on one play, scored a touchdown. Next drive, they started off 4 more straight runs, 12 straight runs. I mean, they were just running the ball down the throat of this Vikings defense. So, yeah, this was confusing to me because the only reason I talked myself into taking the Vikings plus the 7 points was because of their defense and because of their running game. But look what the fuck happened. They got ran all the fuck over, and their running game got shut down. I mean, let's go ahead and talk about this 49ers defense because besides this 49ers rushing attack, you can go ahead and give almost all the credit to this 49ers defense straight shutting down Kirk Cousins and his whole entire Vikings offense. Dalvin Cook was non-existent in this game. This guy had 9 carries for 18 yards. 0 first downs. The guy pretty much had 0 impact in the game. He couldn't get anything going in the screen game as well. I mean, they even tried to throw a screen to him, and Nick Bosa dropped into coverage, dove in, and broke up a fucking pass. I mean, Nick Bosa, shout out to the man. I've been giving him respect all year. I still wish he was a goddamn Raider. I don't know if it was worth beating the Broncos in the last game of the season to lose him, but damn, Nick Bosa, defensive rookie of the year, 6 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. I mean, this was his playoff debut, and the guy was playing like a fucking record. He honestly looked like probably the best player on the field. The guy couldn't be stopped except for when he almost went down with an injury. Next thing you know, the crowd's chanting Bosa, Bosa, Bosa. They weren't screaming that before the draft pick with all that fucking Donald Trump controversy in the back as well. But no, everybody loves Nick Bosa now. If you're going to get sacks, of course you love Nick Bosa. Has been absolutely phenomenal this year. Shut down the run game, shut down the pass game because Kirk Cousins was back there basically scrambling for his life. He got sacked 6 times. And Alan, we've been talking about this 49ers gold rush defense, that front line for the defensive line all year long, and how they have 5 guys on that defensive line who were first round picks. All 5 of them had sacks this past weekend. Yes, Bosa had a couple sacks. D4 had a sack. DeForest Buckner had a sack. Thomas and Armstead. They all had sacks. I mean, I don't really know what Kirk Cousins could have done. Yeah, the numbers look decent. What was it, like 20 for 29? But honestly, he was fighting for his life, throwing little dump-offs, and he couldn't get anything done in the 49ers defense. Nick Bosa, even Richard Sherman had a great interception, jammed Adam Thielen on the outside. He said Kirk Cousins threw a perfect spiral to him, man-on-man coverage. Richard Sherman shouting out to all the haters saying, well, who said I can't play man coverage? Well, we'll see if you can against a couple speedsters in the next round if we get to Tyreek Hill. That's a whole other story, but yeah, Sherman played great, all pro. They got Quan Alexander back. He was all over the field. D Ford was back. He had a couple sacks. Nick Bosa was absolutely dominant, and this 49ers defense really did dominate and win this game for the Niners.
Look, all I got to say about this game, too, is the fact that if anyone thought that this Vikings, and I'm sorry, Marcus, this goes to you, too, but anyone who thought that the Vikings were going to keep this close was obviously lying to themselves. Now, of course, you guys hear me talk shit about you fucking fake fans all season. Well, that's where it really just goes down to, okay? I've told people this over and over, and finally I got it into some few people's heads. That it's just you fans that I really just despise. I have been taking the Niners all season. All most of the season. Mm-hmm. Me and Marcus. Yep. We understand the fucking game. We understand that just because we don't like the fake-ass fans doesn't give us the fucking right to say that this team is actually trash. That just makes us sound like a typical casual. So with that being all said, I knew that this game was going to go to the Niners, whether they were going to win by 3 or win by fucking 10. I just knew that they were going to win. And hell, even my prediction for the score was kind of close. They won 27-10. My prediction was 28-17. I was off by 1 point with the Niners and a touchdown with the Vikings. So it's like, I know how to fucking call games. I know what I'm talking about, people. And for them to just shut down Dalvin Cook, they shut down Dalvin Cook as if he was Kenyon Drake when he was on the Dolphins, dude. Completely did nothing. He was a disgrace that I almost wanted to cut him off my fantasy dynasty team. I thought he was going to do so much more. And you even talk about Quan. I mean, I didn't even barely see Quan. I feel like Quan wasn't even needed. I mean, the hype, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he brings up the hype for his boys. They
hot
are
boys.
The hot boys. Yeah, go ahead. Fuck you guys. Whatever. But the fact is, that defense is in depth. They didn't really need him. Greenlaw came in, stepped in since he was injured, did his fucking job. And Quan, he's just really there to hype it up at this point. You know, you don't really need to sit there and say you need him because you clearly don't. He's fun to watch. He's one of my favorite defensive players to watch. The guy's a complete freak. But, I mean, this, you just got to give credit to that full fucking defense. I mean, you talked about it. 6 sacks against the Vikings. Who knows what they're going to do against Green Bay because we've seen what they fucking did last time they played.
Oh, yeah, absolutely dominated Green Bay's offensive line last matchup they had. I believe they sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times. But, yeah, you got to give credit to this 49ers defense. And, yeah, I talked about it all last week. I thought Dalvin Cook was going to be the reason why the Vikings were able to stay in the game because the 49ers have been able to get run on all season long. We saw Kenyon Drake tear him up. We saw Todd Gurley have some success. We saw running backs throughout the season have success against this 49ers front 7. So what do you know? Dalvin Cook
gets absolutely shut down. So I got to give credit to Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers.
I hate him.
He always goes nuts on the sideline. He looks like the fucking Egyptian god from 300. I mean, the guy's a fucking lunatic on the sideline. I like him a lot, and there's a lot of teams around the league that like him a lot. He's actually been rumored to be pretty much a favorite to be an NFL coach, if not this year, next year. He was actually in the conversation to be hired by the Cleveland Browns. Now, I want to bring this up real quick because the Cleveland Browns actually decided not to go with Robert Saleh. They actually decided to go with the offensive coordinator for the Vikings, fucking Stefanowski,
right, yeah.
Or whatever the fuck his name is, which I don't get makes any fucking sense. If it's between the Vikings offensive coordinator and the 49ers defensive coordinator to be your next head coach, and you see the 49ers defense dominate the Vikings offense, how the fuck do you go and hire the Vikings offense coordinator after that shit show, Al?
Well, as the defensive coordinator for the Niners, why the fuck would you even consider going to the Browns as a head coach in the first place? What would you rather do? Fucking coach a good-ass defense where you're possibly going to be in the Super Bowl, or be with the fucking Browns, who's been in a goddamn shit show for the past fucking 30, 40 years? I mean, come on. It's common sense on that part.
Yeah, I think it's common sense. It's better for him to stay in San Francisco. It's going to be a lot more success, that's for sure. But eventually, the guy is going to become a head coach. I think that's the goal for any defensive or slash offensive coordinator. They want to eventually become the head coach.
Yeah,
so we'll
true.
See what opportunities arise for him next year. But yeah, the guy has been phenomenal this year. I mean, we talk about fucking Kyle Shanahan every single week in this offense. This pre-snap motion, I mentioned it. It's a league high, like 70%. They ran a shit ton of that this past weekend. But, yeah, got to give some credit to Robert Saleh and this defense for stepping up and having a huge game. And his defense could carry them all the way to the Super Bowl because, like I said, they had 5 sacks their last game against the Packers. They could have the same success this weekend, if not even more. But we'll get there when we get there. Let's go ahead and take a look at how the Packers actually got here, because the Packers, as I mentioned in our intro, were able to hold off Russell Wilson in a big late push for a comeback. The Packers ended up beating the Seahawks 28-23, and the Seahawks were down 18 points, Al, and everybody was like, oh, this game's over. And I was like, no, I've watched too many Seahawks games all season long. Russell Wilson has been down too many times all season long. The last game of the season against the 49ers, he was down going into the third, fourth quarter. What does he do? Come back, almost gives him an opportunity to win that game. So, yeah, of course, obviously the Seahawks had to go on the road and go through the Packers and go through all the trials and tribulations that they had to go through because they lost that last game of the season to the 49ers. And, yeah, Russell Wilson almost pulled off another comeback, but the Packers defense actually stepped up huge. About 3 minutes left in the game, Russell Wilson gets sacked. Now, fourth down, it was a fourth and long situation, but with only 3 minutes left, they did have their 3 timeouts left, but Pete Carroll decides to punt the ball, give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with 2 minutes to go. He only needed a couple first downs to fucking end the game, and that's exactly what he does. Now, he dropped an absolute dime to Davante Adams on a 3rd-and-9, and they picked up 32 yards on the play. Next thing you know, another 3rd down, 3rd-and-11, and old man Jimmy Graham comes through clutch. The original Jimmy G, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the man who has had an up-and-down season all year long, Jimmy Graham actually comes through clutch on 3rd-and-11. I say he got about 10.8 yards, Al.
I'd say he had 10 yards.
Yeah.
Not even 10.8. He had a full 10 yards.
I mean,
he was clearly fucking
down.
It
looked like he was fucking short. They didn't review it. Surprise, surprise. I mean, the yellow line on TV, Davante Adams came out after the game. It's like, yo, check out this picture. The yellow line was off. But when you see that sideline angle, you can see the pylon, and you can see
his
helmet is barely touching the orange pylon.
Dude, it's just ridiculous. I don't even want to get into it. I'm so sick of talking about fucking controversial calls and all that, because at the end of the day, it is what the fuck it is. You can't stop it. You're not going to do anything. And it's not going to feel any better with these fucking refs tweeting it out, or if someone else tweeting it out that the refs saying that they made a mistake. Like, that makes anything any fucking better after the fucking fact.
That's the worst, when it's like, oh, we screwed up. Like, don't fucking come out and say that. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah,
the game's already fucking over. I mean, fucking A. I mean,
and
yeah.
My score was actually close too with that. I'd predicted Seahawks 27-24. It happened to be 28-23, just flipped around.
Yeah, just flipped around, and the Seahawks, like we said, had that failed 2-point conversion, or else we would have covered on the spread. But we both did take the Seahawks for the upset victory, but it was the Packers that ended up winning. And honestly, you can complain about the Jimmy Graham catch, but that was the 9th 3rd down that the Packers converted that night. Get this out. They were 9-for-14 on 3rd down. The Seattle Seahawks just could not get off the field on 3rd down. And honestly, I think that's the reason why they lost the game.
Gee, that sounds like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fucking 3rd down, 3rd and long, and they always fucking it up. Sounds familiar, guys.
Sounds familiar for Allen, for the Steelers, for the Seahawks. I mean, goddamn, you want to talk about a magical season and Russell Wilson. We've had talk all these season long. If it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson would actually be the MVP. But his season is cut short. And what do you know? Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson both get knocked out in the same week of the playoffs. absolutely unbelievable. But hey, we still got Aaron Rodgers, and he'll be taking on Jimmy Garoppolo down in Santa Clara this weekend. And
oh, fun.
Man, I mean, shit. Of course, obviously, we wanted the Seahawks and the 49ers because we wanted that third match. We wanted that rubber match of the title match. We wanted round three, of which was two of the best games all season long. But instead, we're getting a Sunday night football rematch of week 12 matchup between the 49ers and the Packers. And the 49ers dominated that game 37-8. I already mentioned it. The 49ers had 5 sacks in the game. Aaron Rodgers was abysmal. He was 20 for 33 for 104 yards. I mean, I got to stop myself. It doesn't even seem real when you're reading off an Aaron Rodgers stat line where he has 20 completions for only 100 yards. I mean, the guy was benched in the fourth quarter of the game. I mean, we can start from the beginning, and the game started with a turnover on the 2-yard line. The 49ers turned it into a touchdown. They went up 7-0 quick. But then, I mean, shit, only 8 points for the Green Bay Packers throughout the whole entire game. I know Devontae Adams was beat up that game, did have turf toe, and he obviously looks healthy now because last game he had 8 catches, 160 yards, and 2 touchdowns against the Seahawks. So we'll see how he matches up against Richard Sherman this week. It will be interesting to see if they move Devontae around a lot because Richard Sherman is known to only stay on the right side of the field. He plays right corner, and he only stays on that side of the field. So obviously you put Devontae Adams on the left side. If Witherspoon is starting, I go after him just like Diggs did the first week. But if you got Mosley in there, still, you take a chance on Devontae on that side over Richard Sherman. So it'll be interesting how they move him around. I think Devontae Adams is going to have a huge game. We even saw in the last matchup when he played, he still got a touchdown, still got into the end zone, dropped down, hit the Thiz dance, started doing a little rest in peace, Mac Dre. Shout out to the Bay. I mean, Devontae Adams from Palo Alto. Yep, the kid from Palo Alto. I played against him in high school. The guy was an absolute dog. So I think he's going to have a big game. It's really just going to come down to this 49ers defense, that front line. Bosa, D4, Buckner, and all those guys getting after Aaron Rodgers because, I mean, yeah, Alan, we could talk about the stats. We could talk about last year. We can compare even Aaron Rodgers' stats to last season where we talked about Mike McCarthy and this offense needs a change. Well, Aaron Rodgers' numbers really aren't that different. We talked about it last week. The only thing that he's setting career highs in is just completions to the running backs. So out of the backfield, yeah, Aaron Jones has been an absolute weapon this year. I believe he had 30 touches this last game against the Seahawks, ended up getting into the end zone twice. But, I mean, the last matchup against the 49ers back in Week 12, Aaron Jones had 13 carries, 38 yards. Only averaged 2.9 yards per carry. So he's going to have to be better run the ball, especially after we saw what the 49ers run defense was able to do last week against Dalvin Cook. But I think Aaron Jones is actually going to be more of a factor out of the backfield and receiving the ball because, like I said, Aaron Rodgers has been checking it down more often than ever, hitting Aaron Jones out of the backfield. So that's where I think Quan Alexander in this game is going to have a big impact because both him and Fred Warner, two speedy linebackers can go sideline to sideline. I think they're going to be a big matchup, matching up with running backs out of the backfield. So those are two matchups I'm keeping an eye on. I want to see Aaron Jones match up with Quan Alexander, Fred Warner, and then, of course, I'm keeping an eye on Devontae Adams outside lined up against Richard Sherman now.
Look, I mean, Marcus, we could talk about all this shit all we want, but you know what? In my gut, I just don't even think it's going to work in general. We could talk about what they're going to. Now, of course, we could sit here and say that they are definitely going to probably play better because they know what the Niners did last time, so they're going to definitely going to make some changes. Now, the one thing that I want to talk about is they can't just give Devontae the ball the whole time. Now, we seen it last week. He had 8 catches. The next guy who had the most receptions was 3 receptions, and then they had 5 other guys with just 1 reception. Rodgers cannot just sit here, and I understand you got yourself a connection. You haven't had a connection like this since Jordy Nelson, so I understand that he even mentioned it in his press conference. He's seen some things out of Devontae Adams that him and Jordy Nelson had, and he thinks that that's going to be a big thing, which it could be. We don't know. I mean, this is a week-to-week thing with us. We ain't going to know, but based off of what I've seen, based off of the knowledge I do have, I just think that if you spread the ball around more, you're going to have the Niners thinking more. You're going to have them thinking, oh, well, where's he going to go? Because it is Aaron Rodgers. We always talk about Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Jones, you need to get your head out of your ass, and you need to get more than 38 yards because, I mean, I've heard it before all the time. You run up the middle, then it's like that's like the best chance you have. You're clearly not going to go sideline to sideline with these fucking linebackers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I honestly don't think that this game is going to be any different. I did think that it was going to be a low-scoring game at first. You know, looking at the spread, it was going to be 7.5 over under 45. I could see that it would be under 45, but at the same time, I could see the score being at the most 21-17 Niners. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and think that Jimmy and fucking every running back in there is just going to start flaming on the Packers because get this. Last week, the Packers had 6 sacks against Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson ain't someone that easy to get sacked. Mm-hmm. However, Jimmy is because He's not a scrambler. That guy sits in the pocket, doesn't know what the fuck to do if he doesn't see anybody open. He doesn't think to run out the pocket, run it out of bounds, throw it out of bounds. No, he'll just sit there and take the sack. So with them getting six sacks against Russell Wilson, I think that the defense for Green Bay can really play a big part in keeping this game close, but I just don't think they're going to have what it takes to beat the Niners at home.
The only time we've really seen Jimmy Garoppolo struggle this year is when he's gone up against elite pass rushers. We saw in that Arizona Cardinal game against Chandler Jones. We saw against the Seahawks and Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, we've seen Jimmy Garoppolo struggle. Cameron Jordan against the Saints. And then even last week, we saw when Daniel Hunter was able to get back into the backfield, Jimmy Garoppolo almost went down with an injury. He got back there so damn quick. So we've seen when Jimmy Garoppolo is being pressured, he does struggle a little bit. So yeah, with the Packers, this defense is way better than any defense they've had. I've talked about it last week on the podcast. Their stats are as good as they were back in 2010 when they went to the Super Bowl and ended up winning it. Yep, shout out to my boy Seawood. Thank you very much, Al. So yeah, this defense can get after the quarterback. Preston and Za'Darius Smith are combined for 25 sacks this season. Ooh. So they're still going to be able to get after the quarterback. I mean, yeah, Preston Smith pulled down the snub shirt last week. The guy was all over Russell Wilson. Like Alan said, they had six sacks in this game. So I think Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith are going to be huge matchups for this game with Joe Staley, with Mike McGlinchey on the outside. We'll see how healthy they are. Obviously, when they played early in the season, they were a little banged up, but now they are at full strength as well. So I think this whole entire team is at full strength for the first time all season. And you want to talk about full strength, week 12, that was the return of George Kittle. George Kittle was out with a couple injuries, and he came back in a big way, had six catches for 129 yards and a touchdown in that game. Now, people want to point to George Kittle and say, hey, where was he last week?
Well, blocking.
He was blocking. That's exactly where he was, Alan. Thank you very much. George Kittle, I've talked about all season long why he's the best tight end in the league, not because he's got 4-5 speed, not because he's built like a fucking wide receiver, not because he's fucking dirty and gritty and will fucking get in there and fucking play with fucking anybody over the middle. It's because of his blocking. I've talked about how without George Kittle, I think the Niners were only averaging like 2.6 yards per carry. With George Kittle, they're averaging over 5. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal all season long, and he had a bunch of great blocks this past weekend, and really that sets up the run game. Him and Kyle Juszczyk, two of the best lead blockers of all football, and they're both pro bowlers, and they're both playing for the same offense. So yeah, it's real nice for that run game when you got blockers like that up the middle. But yeah, George Kittle had his return in week 12 to the 49ers. Their offense put up 37 points in that matchup. I believe Debo Samuel had a big slant over the middle. So yeah, the 49ers showed they were able to pass on this team. I mean, shit, the George Kittle touchdown, I believe he was wide the fuck open,
Marcus.
That was the player where I made jokes where the closest guy to him was the ref 30 yards away. So we've talked about Jimmy Garoppolo taking shots downfield. He does the least in the NFL. He only throws the ball deep over 20 yards on 6% of his passes. So we'll see if he takes any shots this weekend. But honestly, they don't really need to take any shots if his run game is running the way it is. I talked about Kyle Shanahan, the misdirection, the pre-snap motion, getting one guy to go one way, getting guys to go the other way. So yeah, I think this is going to be a big matchup if they're able to run on this Packers defense. Now, they are probably a little bit better up the middle than the Vikings, I will just say, because of Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is a great defensive tackle, one of the best run stoppers in the league. So I think it's going to be up to him. I think it's going to be up to Blake Martinez as well, the middle linebacker for the Packers. Now, Blake does put up a lot of tackles. He's a good run middle linebacker. I know we play IDP football, individual defensive players, fantasy football. Everybody, oh, Blake Martinez is a top five linebacker. Yeah, stats-wise, he can get tackles. But in real life, he's not a top five linebacker. He's not. He doesn't have sideline to sideline speed. Exactly. He can get beat in coverage. So I think George Kittle is going to have a big day if they even try to keep Blake Martinez on him at all. I think they got to bring up a safety. Maybe Darnell Savage, the rookie, the guy who's been having a real good year. Maybe they bring him up, put him up on Kittle. But I think Blake Martinez could at least help out in the run. Him and Kenny Clark have to have big days to try to slow down this 49ers run offense, or it's going to be a repeat performance of week 12. They're going to run all over him, and his defense is going to shut him down.
Which is why I am saying on a bold prediction, Kittle will have another over 150 yards receiving and possibly two or three touchdowns, because if they're not going to stop the run, he's going to go off. If they're going to put somebody on Kittle, if not double team him, all they're going to do is run with their running back. So it's like, this is why I think this is just a win-win scenario for the Niners. The Niners, to me, is more complete than the Packers.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, I got to go with the most complete team, the team who's been on a roll. I mean, you would think that the Niners would have been a little rusty, right, because they had a week off. No, absolutely not. They look like they didn't even take a week off. They look like they practiced the majority of the motherfucking week like they should have been to be ready for this Vikings team, and it fucking worked out perfectly, and I think that that's what they're going to do this week. I think they covered 7.5. If, like I said, if it's going to be 21-17, that's the lowest I could see it being as far as the spread and the score. But I honestly think, like they did with the Vikings, they're probably going to beat them by two touchdowns, if not by 10 points.
You know, Al, the spread's at 7.5.
I know. And fuck the hook. I know.
And you know my favorite bet is Aaron Rodgers plus the points. And here we are at the end of the season, winding down, biggest game of the season. And I think I might have to go with Aaron Rodgers in the points. Now, plus 7.5. If I talked myself into taking Kirk Cousins plus 7 last week, I think I got to roll with Aaron Rodgers plus 7.5. Now, obviously, that did not work out for me well last week. I did take the 49ers to win on the money line, but I thought because of that defense, because of that run game, they would at least keep it close. And the 49ers, before last week, yeah, they won by double digits. But before that, their last 5 regular season games, they won by 7 points or less. So they weren't blowing out anybody that big unless going back all the way to week 12 when they did blow out the Green Bay Packers 37-8. But I think when you get that rematch in the playoffs, especially with playoff implications, it's going to be something different. And I got numbers to back that up. Teams that won the previous meeting by 14 or more points are actually 1-7 against the spread in conference championship games. So, yes, the 49ers do not have history on their side. Aaron Rodgers, say what you want about him, he's still a bad man. And, I mean, shit, we talked about you can only beat the 49ers with a mobile quarterback this year. We saw Matt Ryan and the Falcons beat the 49ers. So if Matt Ryan can scramble around a little bit, you know Aaron Rodgers can. Aaron Rodgers didn't use his legs that much in the regular season. He did use them a little bit last week against the Seahawks. I think Aaron Rodgers utilizes his legs more this weekend. I mean, it makes no sense. The 49ers should blow out the Packers. But, I mean, shit, it's the playoffs. We got the fucking Titans winning every week. Nothing makes sense right now. I mean, yeah, the 49ers should win this game. I'm picking them on the money line. But 7.5, that's too many points to pass up for my boy Aaron Rodgers. I'm rolling with the Packers plus 7.5. But I do think the 49ers win this game in advance of Miami, Al.
Marcus is trying real hard to convince me otherwise to not take this fucking bet. And I do appreciate the fact because, you know what? Don't get me fucking twisted, people. I would love nothing more than the Packers to beat the fucking Niners. I said the same thing with the Vikings with other people off of this podcast. I said, look, I would love no more than the Vikings to fucking beat the Niners. And you know what? I wanted to believe it because I didn't even see them this season. So I thought, okay, new team. Mm-hmm. They're not going to really see what's going on. Clearly, they didn't fucking help. But it is what it is, you know? At least I took them to cover the spread. And right now, yeah, I would pray to whatever God there is that the Packers would fucking win, okay? Because nothing would please me more, like Marcus always says, for me to rant on you fake fucks who is going to be overflowing that goddamn terrible stadium they call a stadium. And I think that's another thing that's going to play into motion in this game is the fact that it's NFC Championship, they're at Santa Clara, and you're going to have a shit ton of brand new fucking gear out there. You once again, dude, Marcus, I'm not fucking kidding you. When I saw this game, I was blind. I thought the sun was hitting my eyes. No, it was just a bunch of new fucking colored red-ass gear just all over that stadium. So, Marcus, I appreciate your attempt to try to convince me, but my gut feeling is still telling me to stick with the Niners. And you know what? Go Pack. Go Pack, go. Let's go, Cheeseheads.
Hey, go Pack, go, Al. You got to stick with your gut feeling. You got your 3-1 against the spread last week, so go ahead and stick with your pick. But, yeah, the 49ers playing at Levi Stadium. I talked about how, yeah, it's kind of a home field advantage. I talked about how it's more that they don't have to go into Green Bay and play in the cold. I mean, that Jimmy too. Garoppolo playing in fucking 15-degree weathers or whatever it would have been out this past weekend. But, yeah, they will be playing at home, Levi Stadium. But, Alan, Green Bay has covered in 5 of their last 6 playoff games, and they're 4-1 against the spread on the road in the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm going to bet on it. I'll take Aaron Rodgers plus the points. I've been preaching to the people all season long. You got to take Aaron plus the points. I do think the 49ers end up winning this game, but we're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback. We're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I think plus 7.5 is too many points to give up, so I think the 49ers end up winning a close game. But hell, who knows? Maybe the Packers get the upset victory, set up the 100th anniversary of Super Bowl I to take on the Chiefs. But we can't even pencil in the Chiefs right now because the Titans are the hottest team in football right now, which I never thought I'd say those fucking words. I cannot believe this score last week. I mean, shit, I'm puzzled to even put together a sentence right now. The Titans beat the Ravens last week 28-12. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Now, Alan did take you to take the Titans on the spread, but fucking A, if you bet on the Titans on the money line once again, congratulations. Fucking A, it's 2 weeks in a row now where at least I told you week one, bet on the points against the spread with the Patriots. Al told you to take the points last week against the Ravens. And the Titans, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, will not have a chance to beat the AFC North champion, the AFC South champion, the AFC East champion, and the AFC West champion in 4 consecutive weeks. Yes, they beat the Texans the last week of the season, Patriots, Ravens, and now the Chiefs. And honestly, they they got a chance because they actually beat the Chiefs early this year in Week 10, 35-32. But before we get into that recap, let's go ahead and recap how the Titans and the Chiefs both got into the playoffs. And I believe we got to start off with the Titans getting the victory over the Ravens, 28-12. I mean, goddamn, Al, the Ravens are the first number one seed to lose to a number six seed since 2010. I mean, the fucking Ravens were on a 12-game winning streak, Al. But then they damn near took 3 weeks off. I mean, they benched everybody week 17, had a bye week, so that's 2 weeks off in a row, and then there's 6 days, obviously, before you play the game. They had nearly 3 weeks off before this game. So, Al, do you think the Titans were the better team, or do you think the Ravens just came out flat this weekend?
I think it could be either or, to be honest. You could argue the fact that the Titans did want it more. I mean, just by how the Ravens played last week, I don't think that they really didn't take that much time off because, you know what, that's the one thing I actually want to bring up with the Ravens. You know, I had a lot of people saying, I've seen it all over social media, they're just dogging Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to be the ones to admit last season, I say that he was shit. He was dog shit because he didn't do shit the whole playoff game. Well, fucking get this. This guy's rushing yards, he had almost as much rushing yards as Tannehill did in passing yards in the last two games. He had 143 rushing yards last week, and Tannehill had a total of 160 yards in the last two games. 7-for-14 against the Patriots and 8-for-15 against the Ravens. So it's like, and that's not even talking about him having 365 yards, 31-for-59 passing. The guy did his fucking job. Matter of fact, I feel like the whole Ravens did their job. The whole Ravens offense. Hollywood finally showed up with 146 yards. The tight ends, well, I mean, yeah, you know what? They did have a couple passes that were dropped.
They had like six drops.
Yeah,
so
I guess I had to take my little statement back. But it wasn't a complete fuck-up, you know? I just don't know. I honestly think that the Titans wanted it more. I think that Derrick Henry really wanted it more. And I think it's disrespect that we call him an animal. I think we call him a mutant. And when I say a mutant, I'm just going to call him the juggernaut. Because if he gets tackled 3 yards, he's falling 2 more yards. He's not getting negative yards at all. He is a complete fucking machine. I don't know his fucking yards off the bat. I'm sure Marcus got you those stats. But it's just unfucking real on what this guy's doing. And hey, shout out to my fucking pops. That guy's been wanting him to do some damage for the past 2 or 3 years. He's like, what the fuck are they doing? Why do they have this bowling ball just sitting on the fucking sideline, not doing nothing with him, and they're always giving the ball to Deion Lewis? Well, thank the fuck Christ 2019 was their season to think about that, because they really pulled off. And just to answer your question in general, I honestly think that the Titans wanted it more.
I mean, Derrick Henry certainly wanted more. I got the numbers for you right here. The guy had 30 carries for 195 yards, even had a touchdown pass in the game. I mean, the man can do it all, and he can pass. But I think the biggest thing out of all these stats, out of the 195 yards, he had 135 of those yards after contact. So, I mean, these guys have a chance to hit him in the backfield, and he's still rushing for over 100 fucking yards. So, yeah, maybe Derrick Henry was more hungry this game. The guy was absolutely unstoppable. But I do want to backtrack to what you were saying of Lamar Jackson, everybody calling him out. Yeah, so he did have a decent game, did end with overall with like 500-something yards. Like you said, 31-59, 365 yards, 20 carries for 143 yards, did have one touchdown. But he did have two big interceptions and a fumble. Three turnovers are way too much, and obviously it proved to be costly in a playoff game. Now, obviously, the first one, it was a tip ball. It got hit off the hands. It shouldn't have been an interception. You can't really blame that on Lamar. The one later in the game kind of threw it behind the guy, got the route jumped. So, yeah, Lamar didn't play as good as he could have. Now, late in the game, he came back and fucking threw for over 300 yards. But I don't think the Ravens' game plan going into this was let Lamar Jackson throw 60 fucking times or whatever it is. So, honestly, for the first time all season long, I think John Harbaugh came out with the wrong game plan. I don't know if he came out and wanted to show people that Lamar Jackson can pass. So, that's why they were so pass-heavy in the first half, because Lamar Jackson didn't use his legs too much in the first half. Nope. We saw how electric he was in the second half, running all over the fucking field. So I think they could have incorporated more into that offense in the first half, but honestly, they struggled. Like you said, Hollywood came up big in the second half, had a couple big catches, had that one-handed catch. Fucking
between three Titans.
Burned Adoree Jackson, who's one of the fastest corners in the fucking league. That just goes to show how fast fucking Hollywood is. But yeah, besides that, no one was catching balls. They had six drop passes. I mean, you want to talk about dropped opportunities. The Ravens, they fucked themselves. They made it to the red zone 8 different times, only scored 12 points. How do you only get 12 points off of 8 different trips to the red zone when you're, what, one of the highest scoring offenses in the league, one of the best running fucking offenses in the league? I mean, yeah, Big Trust was nowhere to be found this week. And yeah, the Ravens, they kept on getting to the red zone, and then they kept on fucking it up. They just could not finish off drives. Get this. Throughout the whole entire regular season, on 4th-and-1 opportunities, they were a perfect 8-0. This weekend, 0-for-3. And honestly, that's what killed the Ravens. They had a couple opportunities, could have kicked a couple field goals, could have got a couple more extra points, but no. Fourth and one, they got stuff. Lamar Jackson tried a quarterback sneak, tried cutting back left and cutting back right. I mean, the guy ran around 5 yards in the backfield, just didn't go 1 yard forward to get the fucking first down. So I think that was the big key to the Ravens getting stuff down. They had plenty of opportunities in this game. They just couldn't capitalize. And obviously, we saw Derrick Henry capitalize. We saw Tannehill, like you said, only had, what, 7 for 14 completions, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. They took advantage of the opportunities. They had no problems in the red zone. It seems like every time they got into the red zone, they made it work. They made it pay off. And honestly, the Titans ran all over them, and the Ravens offense just sputtered down the road. So I want to ask you this, because Marlon Humphreys came out and he said the Ravens' reputation right now is to make the playoffs and choke. I mean, shit, 2 years in a row, Lamar Jackson has struggled in the playoffs. Do you think the Ravens are in the category of chokers?
Absolutely. I mean, again, you can't just fall it all on Lamar Jackson. This is a complete team effort right here. Again, we talked about how there was guys that had 6 fucking drops. If the rest of the team did their jobs on offense by catching these balls, they probably could have done a way better job. If Mark Ingram was who he fucking was all season, Mr. Big fucking Trust, then he would have rammed it right up the fucking Titans' asses for the goddamn red zone touchdown. But that's the thing I want to bring up with them. The Titans' defense, no one is really talking about them. Though, I mean, we weren't even talking about them all season. We said fuck the Titans, but when it comes to playoffs, we are seeing a team with a defense that has high potential to talk about as well. You know, I mean, look back at their last 2 games. The Patriots, 13 points. The Ravens, 12 points. They've had 25 points in the last 2 games led up. And to even bring up the Titans in general, 0 turnovers. That's a huge thing for a team as well. You're not turning the ball over. And how the fuck are you going to turn the ball over when all you're doing is giving the ball to the juggernaut? And hell, just to complete a fun fact for you guys, this guy has as many throwing touchdowns as Jimmy G. That just shows you that this guy can almost do anything. He can pass. So you got to count your fucking blessings. The way I tell you guys with your Niners fans, count your blessings on their defense. You Titans fans, count your blessings that you guys drafted Derrick Henry, because if it wasn't for him, I don't think that they'd be nowhere near this fucking playoff history.
Yeah, absolutely. Derrick Henry, the best running back in the league right now. I don't think there's any question about it, especially the hot streak that he's on right now. I'll give you a couple numbers in just a couple of seconds. But yeah, just to wrap up this Ravens-Titans game, Lamar Jackson did not have his greatest game. But I just want to say for all the critics out there, oh, Lamar Jackson, he's a bust now, blah, blah, blah. You can't go 16 games, have the season he did, put up MVP type numbers, lead the league in touchdown passes. I mean, he's the only guy ever to have 30 touchdown passes and 1,000 rushing yards in the same season. The guy was absolutely historic this year, and the guy just turned 23 years old. I mean, the guy is young. Most quarterbacks don't even make it to the fucking league by 23. I mean, Lamar Jackson is, I'm pretty sure he's younger than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's still at LSU coming out next year. So, yeah, it's pretty nice to have all this experience in the bag. I think Lamar Jackson will be back. Unfortunately, he will not be in the Super Bowl, as it will be either the Titans or the Chiefs. But let's go ahead and take a look at the Chiefs and how the fuck they made it to the fucking AFC Championship game real quick. Because, man, oh, man, they ended up beating the Texans 51-31 and ended up winning the game by 20 in a game that they started off losing by 24. Yes, the Texans blew a 24-0 lead by halftime. Not even the whole fucking game. By halftime, they're the first team in NFL history to be up 24 points and lose the lead by halftime. The Chiefs scored 41 unanswered points. I mean, fucking A. The Chiefs, the first couple of offensive possessions, they struggled. Travis Kelce even had a couple of drops. I mean, fucking Mecole Hardman had a couple of drops. Robinson, whoever that guy is, fucking had a couple of drops. I mean, they did not look great, and they were down 24-0. Now, I will say the Texans did have a block punt for a touchdown, did have a muff punt that set them off at like the 5. That ended up being 7 points. So they got 14 points off of turnovers and special teams. So the score was a little bit more inflated than it was. But I even looked at Al before he fucking passed out and the Chiefs started making a comeback. And I said, you can't count Patrick Mahomes out. Especially me as a Raider fan. I've seen this guy throw fucking 4 touchdowns in the second quarter against us. I mean, the second quarter, looking like the fucking 73-10 Warriors in the fucking third quarter when they just come out and put a fucking beating on everybody. I mean, holy shit. The Chiefs scored touchdowns on 7 straight drives. Patrick Mahomes ended the day 23-35, 321 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5. Yes, I plead the 5th. Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to talk about anything you do all season long. I mean, they were scoring so many fucking touchdowns, they ran out of fucking fireworks for the celebration.
Yep,
they had
true.
To put it up on the scoreboard. Like, oh, sorry, we're just scoring too much. Like, no, you're not fucking sorry. You wanted to keep on scoring, and Patrick Mahomes, that's exactly what he did. He was able to find Travis Kelce for 3 touchdowns. Kelce, like I said, had a couple drops early, but then bounced back with a huge day, 10 catches, 134 yards. And I mean, honestly, this fucking Chiefs fucking offense,
they're pretty much unstoppable right now. You want to talk about hot teams, the Chiefs are riding a winning streak right now. They needed every single game to win to get into the playoffs, to get that bye seed. They're playing at an all-time high right now. Their defense stepped up after being down 24-0. Like I said, half those points came off of special teams. I mean, goddamn, this was just the Chiefs coming back, and I can't even say I'm surprised because, yeah, I've seen this too many times before. Patrick Mahomes, unless you're up by 50 with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, this game's pretty much never over, Al.
Yeah, this game was fucking great, and when I say that it was great, I'm talking about the game that I saw because, of course, I missed, like, maybe a quarter of it when I passed out. But this Patrick Mahomes guy, this guy, he is the youngest player in playoff history to throw 5 TDs in a single game. He's also the second player in playoff history to throw 4 passing TDs in a single quarter. I mean, who is going to stop that?
Deja vu.
Who the fuck is going to stop that? And Marcus, that was just fucking unreal. Like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I woke up to 20. No, I wasn't even asleep at the time. It was 21-0 when I was up. And I'm like, Marcus, we totally just fucked this fucking bet up. He goes, nah.
It's not over.
He goes, nah, I've seen it. I've seen him throw 4 TDs in the first fucking quarter. I was like, you know what? You're fucking right. And sure enough, he did it. Mm-hmm. And these touchdowns we need to talk about because 3 of these touchdowns to Kelce was the same fucking play. He fucking scrambles left or right at the red zone, fucking look like he's about to run it in, then just dumps it off to Kelce. 3 fucking times.
3 times. That toe drag was nice, though, when he kept his toe behind a lot of scrimmage.
It was beautiful. And you know what? Me being kind of dumb as I am, I was like, you know, I forgot about the rule. I was like, oh, he's past the line of scrimmage. Well, I forgot that if any part of your body's behind it, it counts. So you know what? He pulled the drag toe. He was a quarterback and a receiver at the same time with that drag toe. It was unfucking real. And I think that they are well-deserved to even go to the Super Bowl, and I think that that's exactly what might happen, because as much as I want to roll with the Titans, I'm gonna have to take the Chiefs to win, but I think I'm gonna have to take the Titans to cover that spread.
See, that's where I'm going back and forth with that spread. This game is also set at 7.5. The over under is set at 53, which is much higher than the Packers and 49ers, which I don't even think I gave my pick. I think Alan said to go with the under. I think for the over under for the 45, I think I'm taking the Packers and the over. The over has hit 7 out of the last 10 in the 49ers Packer games. I thought I'd just throw that little caveat in there, but for this game, I don't know, because the Titans can score points, but the way that they do it is running the ball, and they got long, methodical drives. So, yeah, Derrick Henry, they should be able to put up points on this Chiefs running defense because, yeah, we talked about how the Chiefs defense has improved, how they've been getting sacks, how they've been getting turnovers, but they got ran on all season long. I believe I didn't see the final season numbers, but they were like 30th overall in rush defense. I mean, they can get ran all over. And going back to this Week 10 matchup, when the Tennessee Titans won 35-32, the Titans outrushed the Chiefs 225 yards to 97.
That's awesome.
They ran all fucking over them. And then Derrick Henry, that wasn't the first time he ran all over the Chiefs. Let's go back to 2017. Wild card round. Titans upset victory. Beat the Chiefs. And Derrick Henry ran for 156 yards. So he has beaten the Chiefs. He has ran all over the Chiefs. He's ran all over them in Arrowhead as well. So honestly, Alan, I think this game is going to come down to 2 questions. Can anybody keep up or slow down this Kansas City Chiefs offense? Or can anybody keep up or slow down or even try to stop Derrick Henry? Because he has been absolutely phenomenal. I mentioned it. The past 2 games, he had 182 yards against the Patriots and had 195 yards against the Ravens. This guy is averaging 190 fucking rushing yards a fucking per game. And then you want to go back? Let's check out the last 8 games of the season, Al. This man had 203 carries, 1,273 yards, 6.2 yards per carry, and 11 touchdowns.
That's only 8 games. That's half the season.
And that's exactly what I'm saying, Al. That was the last 8 games this guy has played. Half a season, this guy is putting up fucking more numbers than people fucking hope to put up a whole entire season. This guy is unstoppable, like Alan said. He's a fucking mutant, a fucking juggernaut, whatever the hell you want to call him. This guy just cannot be stopped. So it'll be interesting if the Kansas City Chiefs try to do something to slow him down. I think it's going to be huge in this game if Chris Jones plays or not. Now, Chris Jones was a late scratch last week. I believe he got scratched Thursday, Friday practice right before the game. So Chris Jones, I've mentioned him, probably the best defensive lineman that the Kansas City Chiefs have. He plays interior defensive lineman, defensive tackles, the whole lineup right in the middle. So I think it's going to be huge. If he can play, maybe they can slow down Derrick Henry a little bit. But fucking A, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm putting 10, 11 guys all in the fucking box, and I'm forcing Ryan Tannehill to beat me. Because if at the end of the day, if you can somehow take away Derrick Henry, and then you get into a shootout between Ryan Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes, you guys all know who I'm siding with. I'm siding with Patrick Mahomes. Now, that's a big if of stopping Derrick Henry because no one can stop him right now. But I think if Chris Jones does play, it should at least help out the cause. But, I mean, Alan, can anybody stop this fucking monster of a man right now, Derrick Henry?
I don't think so at all. And based off what you were talking about with the Chiefs defense, I mean, yeah, they've definitely gotten better. Mm-hmm. But let me give you a little bit of insight here. Chris Jones didn't even practice, and most likely he's not even going to play because as far as the details go, he can't even push off the line.
Fucking
so man. It's like if he doesn't play, then that's clearly going to be a huge advantage for that juggernaut to go through. Now, one thing I want to talk about the most is this defense. I think that the Titans can actually put up a fight against this Chiefs offense because – we also got to talk about the Titans sacking Lamar Jackson at least four times last week.
True.
Now, when we hear four times, you would think that's really not that big of a deal, right? Fucking wrong. This is Lamar Jackson. This guy doesn't get sacked unless someone is coming and blindsiding him. Now, I can't say I watched the whole game for the Ravens because I was at work. I watched whatever I could. But just by seeing that he got sacked four times, I mean, clearly the Titans have enough knowledge to know what they can do. I think that the coaches have some good knowledge. I think that they actually play the game right. I mean, hell, we see what they did against the Patriots. It was petty, but it was smart. And I think that they could do the same thing against the Chiefs. Now, as far as Chris Jones being out on the other side of the field, the only injury I can really think of was Humphreys for the Titans. But clearly that wasn't even an issue because he didn't even have a catch last week. So I don't even know why I brought him up. I just thought it'd be nice to bring up some injury reports. And the one thing that Chiefs also need to do is they need to get a running game going because last week, Patrick Mahomes had 53 yards rushing, and he was their leading rusher, while Damian Williams had 46 rushing yards. Now, I kind of had this little talk with Marcus, like, we don't know what to say because we said, what running backs are going to be needed? Like, who? I forgot what we were exactly talking about. We're like, what running back or what team is going to be needing a drafting running back?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the Chiefs because, you know, I thought Damian Williams could be some type of person, but then again, he's really not that vital.
He's more of a product of the system, and it's something that we talked about off-air with the 49ers and Raheem Mostert and fucking Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida, how they're just interchangeable, but I think it's because of Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yeah.
Now, the same thing with Andy Reid. We've compared him and Kyle Shanahan all season long, how they're two of the greatest offensive minds in the league. I think with that Kansas City Chiefs offense, it's kind of in that similar vein where you can just plug in almost any running back and you can get some production.
And that could actually help them to their advantage, but I just don't see it helping as much with the Titans defense. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be forced to be running more. I think he's going to be forced to be throwing more. I mean, hell, Tyreek Hill wasn't even that much of a factor. He had 41 yards with three receptions last week, and they still fucking dogged. Kelce had 13.4 yards averaging last week in receiving. I mean, all you really needed at that point was just Kelce, but this Titans defense is definitely better than the Texans defense, and I think that they could do it just enough to put up a fight and cover that spread. But hell, I can't really knock off the Chiefs to even lose this game. If they fucking lose this game, I don't know what I'm going to do, Marcus. We've seen two fucking upsets with the Titans, and if they fucking go and just take out the Chiefs, I don't know. Do we bet them every time next season?
I mean, I feel like that's got to be the fucking answer. I mean, I would be just as puzzled with you if the Tennessee Titans pull it off. I mean, obviously, I picked the Patriots to win. Obviously, I picked the Ravens to win. I mean, goddamn, Alan, I'm having flashback a couple years ago. The last time that I picked against a backup quarterback who took over for a team, in every single playoff game, I picked against them. Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Nick.
And what do you know? He fucking goes to the Super Bowl and beats Tom Brady. I even picked against him in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, fucking A, I'm having flashbacks of fucking Nick Foles 2.0, Ryan Tannehill taking over with a chance to win against the Chiefs. Like I said, beat the division winner four times in a row and set him up for a Super Bowl appearance down in Miami.
Aha!
Yes, Ryan Tannehill could be back in Miami. I can't fucking believe it. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I mean, fucking A, I don't know how I could bet on the Titans now. I've been betting against them all fucking postseason. I've been betting against them all fucking season long. I mean, I feel like Adam Rank over here just being dead wrong on the Titans. I mean, we talk about this defense. I mean, you can name Adoree Jackson, Kenny Vaccaro, but it's not like they have fucking
superstars
on this defense. It's just role players.
Woody
so, I mean,
Yard.
You got to give fucking shout out to Mike Vrabel. We talked about him outsmarting Bill Belichick. This guy is finding ways to shut down Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady. Vrabel is coaching phenomenally his Tennessee Titans team right now, but honestly, I think the other foot is about to drop. I think this is the end of the Cinderella story. I think this is the end of the fairy tale. I think Ryan Tannehill, yeah, he's been great, but I'm not picking Ryan Tannehill to outscore Patrick Mahomes. Now, obviously, it's not that simple. If Derrick Henry is going to be able to outscore this Kansas City Chiefs offense as well, but I think this Chiefs defense, they're going to limit him somehow, some way. I don't know. I just got a gut feeling right now. Yeah, the Titans are one of the hottest teams in football, but the Chiefs
are playing on fire right now. Their defense is, yeah, they're playing as great as they've been all year, but this offense is unstoppable. I don't know if anybody can stop them, and that's including the 49ers defense. So, yeah, I think I'm setting up a 49ers-Chiefs Super Bowl matchup, but, I mean, the Chiefs got to take care of business this weekend, and I think they do against the Titans. Now, smart money would tell you take the Titans 7.5 points. I mean, the Titans are 4-0 against the spread their last four games against the Chiefs, and they're 5-1 against the spread traveling up to Kansas City. They've already beaten once this year, and now they're getting 7.5 points when they're the hottest team in football. But I'm still taking the Chiefs -7.5. Patrick Mahomes, I don't care that he puts ketchup on his steak. I think he's going to have a big fucking game this weekend. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are just right now, they're the hot track to make it to the Super Bowl. But like I said, I was wrong with Nick Foles and the Eagles. I could be wrong with Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Derrick Henry, it literally looks like no one wants to tackle that guy out there. So yeah, Chris Jones is going to be huge to see if he plays this weekend. But I just got the feeling, for whatever reason, Chiefs are going to win. Chiefs are going to win big. And the over-under is set at 53. I don't even know if that goes over, though, because I think the Titans struggle. I think Tannehill is going to be put into a few uncomfortable positions. Maybe Honey Badger gets an interception. Maybe he gets a turnover of some type. I don't know. I just got the feeling that the Chiefs are going to win, and they're going to win big. I think they can win this game by a touchdown and a field goal, 10 points. I'll go ahead. I'll lay the 7.5. I'll take Patrick Mahomes -7.5 to get the trip to Miami.
Well, I want to ease some people's minds with Tannehill. Like, Marcus says that he's not really sold on Tannehill. And you know what? I got to even agree, because he came in, what, week three of the season? So he didn't even play a
week
full
six
season.
Or seven, yeah.
Now, if they do, this is my feeling. If they do end up stopping Derrick Henry and force Tannehill to throw, I don't think that Tannehill's going to have that much of an issue, because we also forget that the guy has fucking A.J. Brown, mm-hmm. who just dogs everybody that guards him damn near. I mean, he was a delight to see this season.
Even Jonah Smith is a nice
Jonas
little weapon
Smith,
out of the backfield.
Jonah Smith, the tight end,
yeah,
fucking, uh-huh. He's a mossing motherfucker. Guy catches almost anything. And he's still got Corey Davis, who isn't a big name, but still, he does what Kenny Stills does in my book. He will be that deep threat if they really need him, because everyone's going to be looking at Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Smith. So I think that Tannehill has a way better game. I think he's got the will to do what he has to do to win, but I just think that they're going to lose just because overall the Chiefs are that better. But I don't think that Tannehill's going to be that bad. It's not like he was 88 yards and 70-something yards because he was trash.
Yeah.
He just wasn't needed. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give the ball to Derrick Henry 30 times a game and it's working, I mean, we've heard this typical fucking slogan. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
True.
And that's exactly what the Titans are doing. It's not broken. The run game ain't broken. So until it is broken, I think that Tannehill can overcome adversity and show people that he's worth the money and worth the starting position.
Exactly, Al. Ryan Tannehill right now is the quite essential game manager. He's literally just don't turn the ball over, hand the ball off 30 to 40 times a fucking game. I mean, who cares what the hell you're doing passing the ball? All we need you to do is take that one or two shots deep downfield when we get 8-9 guys in the box. And that's exactly what he's done since taking over from Marcus Mariota. Mariota was afraid to take those shots downfield. Tannehill at least takes those shots downfield, but they're rare. I mean, the guy only throws 14, 15 passes a game, but like I said, that's all they need him to do, just not turn the ball over. I just got a feeling this weekend we will see one of those turnovers. Ryan Tannehill will go back to looking like a fucking wide receiver from Texas A&M. I think he has a turnover. I think the Chiefs win. I think they win big by 7.5, but I don't think it's going to be a close game. He's taking the Titans in the points. I'm taking the Packers in the points, but we both got the 49ers and the Chiefs squaring off down in Miami for Super Bowl. What is it, 50-something? I don't even fucking know. 50-something. One of those fucking numbers. We'll find out next week when we get to the Super Bowl podcast. But yes, that is every single championship game. There's only two of them. But what do you know, folks? We gave you another hour podcast, full breakdown, the Niners and the Packers. I'm taking the Packers +7.5. Allen's taking the 49ers to win big. We both think the 49ers are going to win regardless at home. Sunday night football in a rematch of week 12. But first, you got to get through the rematch of week 10 between the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs to win big by double digits. Al likes the Titans +7.5 on the spread, but he's with me as well with the Chiefs winning. And we got the Chiefs and the 49ers matching up for Super Bowl Miami, baby.
You know what the fuck it is, y'all. This is free money. We're giving it to you all the way until the motherfucking Super Bowl. And speaking of the Super Bowl, just be prepared to not hear us next week, because hell, there won't be no reason to do it next week.
Nope.
We got 2 weeks for Super Bowl. This is the last week until we get a break. Wow, Marcus, we actually get a break. Wow.
Look at that. No
Look
days off.
Look at that. No days off. But you know what? Just be prepared for more shit talking by me, whether they win or lose. And I'm talking about the Niners, because I got to keep up a reputation. And with that being said, fuck you fake-ass fans, and I'll be glad to see you guys just soaring through that stadium all looking bright red and shit. Fucking, as a matter of fact, I have a little slapper that I would love to show people on Twitter or Instagram or everything. It's called a bandwagon remix. Sounds like E40's doing it, but it's fucking amazing. It's one of the slappers of 2020. Great start to my fucking 2020. Fuck y'all.
Stay tuned for the shit-talking Super Bowl podcast with your boy Marcus Boucher and the Bay Area's hater himself, Alan Flores. And yes, he mentioned it. If you want to check out the memes, you can follow us on Instagram at Bay's Golden Days. Al's got his meme page at Al Don't Give a Fook. You can find us on Instagram, social media, Twitter at Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. That's Big Al. Thank you for listening, downloading, subscribing, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from. Type in Bay's Golden Days and you can find the Straight Cash Podcast. And like always, baby, every single bet, every single week, we'll be back for the Super Bowl, regardless if the 49ers are in it or not. We'll give you our picks for the Super Bowl, the over-under. We're going to have prop bets for you. We're going to have a whole bunch of shit going on for the Super Bowl podcast because, shit, we can talk for an hour just about one game if we needed to. We gave you an hour breaking down two games right here. We got the AFC Championship, the NFC Championship, and we got the 49ers taking on the Chiefs right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, baby. You know what it is. It's golden.
Golden. Golden. Golden. Golden.
Steady gold, pony boy.